Well, Happy New Year. I was going to ask you guys some questions. Have you ever asked yourself this question? I know as a pastor, we've been asked this question many times. Does God speak to me? Will he speak to me? Like, sure, he speaks to everyone else, but is he going to speak to me? And do I know his voice? So we're starting a new series today. It's called Lean and Listen. I'm going to kind of set it up, and then other people are going to come in and run with the ball. We are starting today 21 days of prayer and fasting. And if you've been eating cookies for lunch and dinner like I am, it is well-timed, appropriate, and right now is a good time to get going with that so I can still fit through the door. But we begin this typically, if you've never done something like this, I just want to fill you in so you don't feel like you don't know what's going on. Typically, we'll begin this like Sunday after church, or if you want to start tomorrow morning. We're not like being religious about it, you know. And then we'll end Sunday the 28th. We usually have a great service, and then we go eat whatever we want. So I'm going to kind of go back and forth between preaching and sharing how all that's going to work. But this sermon series is called Lean and Listen. And it's based on Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. I don't know what it is, but you'll catch me reading scriptures in a couple translations to you because you're going to hear different things from different translations. So this is the ASV version. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline," that's an important word, "thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart," yeah, it's borderline King James right there, "with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So this is Proverbs 4, 20 through 23 in the Passion. I really like this. "Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then, as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being." Pretty good, huh? "So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from that flows the wellspring of life." So there's a definition of the word incline. It means to feel willing or favorably disposed towards, to lean or turn away from a given plane, you know, if you lean something up, lean it down, or direction, especially the vertical or the horizontal. Let's be honest, we all live really horizontal. Just right out here, what I can see, what I can feel, what's happening right around me in my sight. But I believe this season is one where he's calling us to live vertically. In fact, he commands us to in his word. What does that mean? What are you talking about, lady? You see, we lean during this 21 days in particular. This is what we're doing with our hearts. We're leaning away from the world, and we're leaning into God. With everything that we are, we're going to stop living, so what's here? What's the next thing to do? The next cool thing, the next this, the next that, and start looking up, right? It's all about our position and the direction of our hearts. In James 4:8, it tells us to lean in. Here's what it says. This is in the Passion again. "Move your heart closer and closer to God." Who's doing the moving? Grammar lesson. We are, right? He's not moving. You're moving. "Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. Make sure you cleanse your life and you sinners, and keep your heart pure and stop doubting." So he's saying, lean in, move your heart closer. Move closer. James 4:8 in the New Living, come close to God, and God will come close to you. "Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts." Listen to this. This got me. "Your loyalty is divided between God and the world." And you're like, oh, I've been saved for 40 years. How dare you? I didn't even write that. That's what the Bible says. And he's reminding us how easy it is for our loyalty to shift. And we're not doing it on purpose. We're just living our life, right? We have to change the direction that we're looking in. We can't live horizontally. There's no victory there. Seated with Jesus where? In heavenly places. That's vertical, right? Isaiah 40:26 says this, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. Lift up your eyes. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing." The victory's in the vertical. Amen? Isaiah 51:6 says this again. And actually, if you do a search on this, there are many, many times it says lift up your eyes in the Word of God. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens are going to vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. That's a little depressing. All right, we're all done. You got the victory. Just kidding. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. What is the saying? Live for eternity. Live for the rest of forever. Don't live for the horizontal and the right now, because it's not going to be here. Live for eternity. My friend, she's in heaven now, used to say this to us all the time. In the light of eternity, you know, you'd call her up and we'd be going back and forth. She'd tell me all her problems. I'd tell her all mine. La, 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 you know, and I'm all fired up because I am feisty. I keep it on the down low, but man, watch out. So I'm blah, 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 telling her all these things that I'm all flustered about. And she's like, real quietly, "Well, in a really southern North Carolina accent to this Yankee girl, well, in the light of eternity, you think that's going to matter?" I'm like, no. And then I had to get myself together, right? So much of what we're worrying about and spinning our wheels over and staying up late at night consumed with in the light of eternity, it's not going to matter. And we have to live eternity-minded. So this might be the first time you've ever participated in 21 days of prayer and fasting. Or maybe you've done this for 20 years and you could write a book on it. Doesn't matter. It would be easy and so simple to just go through the motions, participate sort of half-heartedly, see what happens with this. But I just want to encourage you to resist that temptation. And this is the question I want you to write down. If you're taking notes, if you've got your phone, if you don't get anything today, although there's other stuff I think you should take notes on, this is the big one. During this 21 days, here's what you're asking God. God, what are you asking of me? What do you want from me? Our launching scripture says, incline your ear. Well, this is telling on my 5'3". I don't look 5'3", but I have really tall heels on, because if I don't wear tall heels with these pants, they drag on the floor. And so I'm 5'3", my husband's 5'8", Joey's 5'9", and I think Mikey's 5'10", almost 5'11". And all the boys now drive our cars. So it's hilarious, after I've driven the car and they get in the car, their knees are like up to here, you know, and they're just like, oh, you know, irritated because they're teenagers, and they push in the seat all the way back like, "Mom, how do you drive like this? Like, can you even breathe?" Because I'm up all close, you know. And here's the thing. When you recline a chair, which is what they do, you lean back, right, when you recline. But when you incline, what do? You move forward. And in my case, I move a lot forward. In fact, today I was driving a bigger vehicle of ours that I cannot see in unless I jack the seat up and push it way high. I can't even see over the steering wheel. And honestly, for me to be able to drive and move forward in these vehicles and be safe, because, like, I can't reach the pedals if I get in after Mikey. I can't reach. I have to make my position different. I have to move forward. I have to move myself into a position, one, so I don't wreck the car, because that'd be expensive. But two, to be safe, I have to position myself, right? My whole being literally has to move forward in order to reach the pedals. And again, in his car, up, over, out. I mean, I don't even like driving it because it's too big for me. We have to get in position if we want to go somewhere, if I want to go somewhere safely. So the next 21 days is about this. It's about positioning ourselves, not just to hear, but to be able to do whatever God is asking of us. It's one thing to hear. It's another thing to hear and do. You know, I have a child. I won't say their name. But he's smart enough, very smart child. I'll be like, can you do this? He just says okay. He may or may not do it, but he just says okay, so I'll go away. You know, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do that. Sure, I'll do that, no problem. And then you come back and you're like, you didn't do it. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm like, mm-hmm, you just said okay, so I'd go away. God's not looking for that from you. Okay, go away. You know, I heard you. I'm just not gonna do anything about it, but cool, thanks for sharing, you know. He's looking for you to obey when you hear. Amen? Not just hear, but do. So this 21 days is about putting aside comfort and distractions and taking time to press into God and to listen. How do you do this? Well, I'm so glad you asked. What we have done is we've made a prayer guide available to you. And the ushers are going to have those at the door. And I've emailed it out. And Kathy's going to email it out to the New Life email list as well. It's 21 days of prayer. In here, there's a calendar. It's really pretty cool. It's kind of like a little workbook. But each week, there's a focus. So like this first week, we're going to focus on the heart. And the scripture verse is Psalms 51:10. And this is all in the packet. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. So day one is consecration. There's a scripture for it. And then there's like a little devotional almost for every day. And the coolest thing that I like about it is there is a little part of a family action that you can do with the kids. Because they don't learn these things unless you teach them. And they're really being taught a lot of things we don't want them to learn right now. We have to actively pursue teaching them how to live a godly life. They're not going to get that in their 50 gajillion hours at school. And so the family action plan, I just want to read it to you so you have an example and can wrap your mind around it. This week, take time to print and cut out some heart paper shapes, hearts, you know. Display them in a prominent place in your home, maybe in your living room or kitchen. Make a heart for each family member and have each one write, "Created me a clean heart," on their heart. Throughout the week, encourage your kids to think of ways they want the Holy Spirit to give them a clean heart and write it down on the paper hearts. Maybe they need help with the fruit of the Spirit, like patience or kindness. He can help us develop love, joy, peace, patience, all the way to self-control. And they'll write that down, but it has to be their idea. Don't give them ideas. Let them do it. You might start them, but let them do it because they're going to learn how to hear from God that way. It's a moment for you to show vulnerability too. Do you want to make more time for devotions? Do you want more discipline in your finances, etc.? So keep those up, and you're praying over those all week, and there's a scripture focus. So those are available for you at the end of service. So now you get to the part about fasting. Makes everybody nervous. The most important of all of this is just that you draw near to God, that you lean in, you incline your ear, and you get closer to God. So how you fast is up to you. Maybe you can't fast food for medical reasons. We've got nursing moms and pregnant moms and all kinds. I don't know. This place is busting with babies, and we're just getting started. I can't imagine in 5 years how many babies are going to come through this place. I'm kind of excited about it because I like babies. Not for me, though. I'm done. Just in case any of you get any ideas, if that you're saying that's the Lord, it's not, okay? It is not. That was the devil that spoke to you. So how you fast is up to you. There's some different ways listed in the guide. Like, you can fast specific foods. You can fast a meal a day. You can do a liquid fast. You can do the Daniel fast, which is mostly meats and vegetables. You can do a combination of things. If you're under doctor's medical care, please make sure to talk to your doctor. And again, pregnant and nursing moms, you're exempt. So eat all you want and just pray. Amen. You need the energy. You just have to figure out what works for you. We're removing comforts and distractions. And here's why we're doing that. Excuse me. To make room in our hearts, our minds, and our schedules to seek the Lord. So here are some ways. So decide what kind of fast you want to do. That's the first thing. The second thing, you can attend prayer. We're going to have the next three Wednesday nights at 6:30 and the next three Saturdays at 9:30. We'll have prayer here. It's corporate prayer. You can come and pray in that environment. It's super good to do that. The kids are welcome to join you. The kids' classes are not going to be open for that. So if you got itty bitties, you might want to take turns with your spouse, whatever you got to do there. And then read your Bible. Amazing. Such brilliance there, right? Read your Bible during this time, always, but especially right now. You know, pick a plan. You can go on YouVersion. You can go on the Bible apps. You can decide you're going to read through the Bible in a year. I recommend if you're really wanting to get closer to God, read the book of John. Read John 14 through 17 in every translation you can find. Right now would be a phenomenal time to do that. It talks about abiding in the vine. It talks about how the Holy Spirit talks to us. It's a great place to get rooted in those things, especially if those questions I asked at the beginning are questions you have and struggle with. Read John 14 through 17. I like it in the Amplified. I like the words. But if you like it in another translation, great. Okay? So that's the skinny on that. So as we enter into a new year, I know I always think about, and I'm sure you do too, you look at all the things and consider your ways, what you could do differently, how, what was good about the year, what was not good about the year, and you're not interested in repeating. And you know, throughout our walk with the Lord, he's constantly calling us to create a well-worn pathway into his presence. You know, you can go out into the forest, you can go out back here, and if people haven't walked that area in the field back there a whole lot, there's no pathway there. And if it's dark and there's no pathway, it can be really easy to get lost because it's not well-worn. But man, have you ever been on like a hike where it's like a hiking trail and everybody and their dog, it's famous for going through the trail? It's well-worn. You know right where to go because someone's gone there over and over and over again. And he's calling you to create that for your own life. So when trouble comes, when life happens, you know how to get in the presence of God and get answers. You know how to get in the presence of God and just get peace and settle yourself down, right? That's part of what we're developing in these 21 days. You know it takes 21 days to make a habit. I know you know that, but I just threw that in there. So drawing near to God is our goal. We know that he has things to say to us. As you enter the new year, I have four questions for you to think about. One of our overseers shared this with us, and I found myself using them as a filter in my process for my own life, but even with the ministry and the things that we do. So this is the part you're going to want to take notes on. You can ask these four questions about your home, your work, your ministry. Here they are, four questions. Number one, what's warfare? We have to ask God, what is going on in my life that's warfare? So that I don't fight the wrong thing. You might be thinking, well, it's my kid. That's the warfare. They're driving me crazy. No, it's not, for one thing. But we got to fight the right thing, right? You need to know the strategy to fight. So if it's warfare, and here's how you know. What does the enemy do? He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. If it falls into steal, kill, destroy, is it destroying your peace? That's warfare. Is it destroying your joy? Is it destroying unity in your home and your family? Then that's coming from the devil. That's not coming from God. And you know you got to take a different position with that. You don't just go, oh, whatever. That'd be like letting a thief in your house. Why would you do that? The thief comes to what? Steal, kill, destroy. So what's warfare? If there's an attack, how are you going to fight? What promises are you going to stand on? However, here's what happens. Sometimes there's a war around us because we're trying to do something we're not supposed to be doing. It's something God didn't call us to. It's just something that's our will, our thoughts. We want that, whatever it is. And we haven't checked in with God about it. It's just what we want. You know how kids are. I want it. Why? Because I want it. No reason. I just want it. And we can be like that as adults. And then we turn around and we'll say, I don't understand why XYZ is not working in my life. But we never checked with God. In fact, we may have ignored him talking to us about not doing that thing. Don't go to that movie. Don't whatever. It's not like God is out there with a big list of do's and don'ts, but if we want peace, we got to pursue him and be doing what he's doing and what he's into. And he's not into a lot of things that are going on in this world around us, right? So is there a world around you where you're trying to do something or make it work, and God's not in it, or he's telling you not to do it? That's not warfare, just for the record. I've had people come to me. I ran our prayer ministry for 15 years. You have people come up and say stuff, and sometimes they say really weird stuff, and they'll be trying to make it sound like their husband is the devil. I mean, he for sure is possessed of the devil. I mean, they don't say anything that they did wrong because they're perfect. And they're just going on and on and on and on and trying to exert warfare, and really they just need to be kind. That's a great example. They just needed to pray or whatever, and they're trying to turn that into warfare. It's not warfare always. Does that make sense? Am I explaining that okay? Sometimes you'll know. That's not warfare. It's the result of not listening. When you're not listening, you don't do the right things. If there's no grace and you feel like you're fighting something, you have to ask God, is this warfare? Is this the enemy coming against me? Or is this a battle and a thing that I'm just not even supposed to be doing? Like, I'm not in my lane. That's a famous thing to say these days. I stay in my lane. But honestly, life is better if you live in your lane. Stay out of everybody else's lane. Sometimes we're trying to do what everybody else is doing, and God's told you to do this. And you're like, oh, but she's doing this, and they're doing this. And he's like, over here. And you're all up in their lane, making crashes, making problems. And you just need to get in your lane, right? And obey God. It's not warfare. It's just a lack of wisdom and obedience. So what is warfare in your life? What is the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy? And what is you being your own worst enemy? Which we do. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, it says this: in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of heavy armed soldiers, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, the powers, the rulers of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete. Did you notice a couple times already it said whole and complete, not half the armor? Like, cool, I've got the belt of truth on, but I'm going out to war and nothing else is covered. How often are we thinking that we're all suited up and we're completely exposed to the enemy? I got one part, but he said put on the whole thing. Don't just put on half the armor and go out to war, right? For not wrestling, okay, so put on the whole complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the day of evil. And having done all to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having the breastplate put on of integrity and moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having shod your feet in preparation to the face of the enemy with the firm-footed stability and readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the shield of faith upon which it quenches the fiery darts of the enemy, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm going to brag on Miss Barbara. Miss Barbara's actually on our board at Christ Chapel, and she always says that every day she puts on the helmet. She's getting ready to be 80 this week. She's going to kill me. If I'm dead after service, you know why. But she always says, she's like, I put on that helmet of... So she's one of the sharpest 80-year-olds I've ever met in my life. In fact, my brother told my mom the other day, he's like, Mom, you just need to be like Miss Barbara. I don't know how she felt about that, but for real, she did. She told me he said that. But she puts on the helmet of salvation. Why? So she'll remember things and use her mind according to the word of God, right? Isn't that cool? Having shod your feet in the preparation, in the face of the enemy. Wait a minute. All right, hold on. We're on the helmet. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 5, verse 18, pray at all times. To that end, keep alert. It talks about pray at all times in the spirit with all manner of prayer. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints. I've always read just the armor part, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a cool verse about prayer. But when you read it in context, one might think, at least my interpretation is, if I want to activate this armor, I need to pray. If I want this, well, it's not last because Paul was bored and threw it in there. He's like, here's all the armor. You want it to work? Pray in the spirit. Amen? So we need to activate the armor by praying in the spirit. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We can pray through and find the strategy that works. There's something about human nature. We're like, well, it worked that time. I'm just going to do the same thing the next time. But life we've found is just not like that. And the Lord has strategies, but you only get those if you ask for them, right? And there's a strategy to fight that battle that you're fighting. And so if we don't have the whole armor of God on, there's parts of us that are exposed to attack. So ask the Lord, am I missing some pieces of this armor? Am I just reading my Bible, which is great, but I need to be declaring the word. What is it that I'm, am I loaded up and suited up all the way, or am I exposed somewhere? All right, so that's number one. What's warfare? Sometimes we're like, that person's just a jerk. Sorry, I said jerk in church. That's all it is. It's just them. No, it's warfare. There's something demonic going on in that, and you need to take authority over it. You need to figure out what's warfare in your life. And if it's just you not being real smart, making good decisions, then just own it and move and fix it, right? And get some peace. So number one, what's warfare? Number two, what's weary? What is wearing you out? What is zapping your strength, zapping your peace, taking your joy? What is using up all your energy? The rhythm of God is this. You'll want to write this down. Less is more. Slow is fast. Deep is wide. Everything in the kingdom is pretty much opposite of the world, right? They're always saying, just be wide, don't be deep. Just do everything fast. And that's not really how the kingdom works. It's not McDonald's. And we've all found how great that is for our health, right? It might be fast, but you're also fast. Strength can be restored and energy revived when we stop doing what's wearing us out. What is using energy that you don't have and frustrating the rhythm of grace and peace in your heart and mind? What's something you're doing that you don't need to do anymore? This is the beginning of a new year. You can say goodbye to that. What's something you just keep doing, thinking it's going to work, and it's not? There's seasons in our lives when things change. And I think as a woman, which, sorry, I'm a woman, I'm preaching, can't help it. But there's a little different for us. We have babies. There's just really different seasons. Men have seasons, but women have lots and lots of seasons. We have kids. They grow up. Now it's just different, you know? And so in that, we have to learn what season we're in, and we can't always do everything that we were doing before because it'll make us weary and not be living in the season that we're called to live in right now. I mean, it's great that you crocheted 932 blankets last year, but this year, your kid needs you to pray for them. So you can crochet blankets because you've been doing, I'm just making stupid stuff up, because that's what you do, and that's fantastic. Sometime you should teach me. Not sure I could learn, but you could try. That's great, but what's he asking you to do in this season, and are you using your energy, which is one of your greatest resources, the way that you need to use it now for him? To be the best person for your family, for your house, for your job, for your life, as a son or a daughter of God. So what's taking away from your time with God, your family, your church, that's not necessary and it's making you tired? Now, if that's your job and you're like, I'm never going back to work again, it's making me tired, you need to keep your job, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But pray about that. Maybe there's some things that you don't need. Maybe you're spending 92 hours a week on social media and it's just making you tired and cranky. Here's a thought. Quit. Free. Matthew 11:30. And the message says this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. He's calling you to be his apprentice, to follow him in what he does. And we have the Gospels to look at, to watch the pattern and the way he did things. And he's saying, in the word, it says to do what he did, right? He's calling us to that. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. There's something about when we're forcing things and God's not in it, that's kind of what I was alluding to, not very well in the last part, that gets us really frustrated. And he's calling you and saying, it's not forced. There's a rhythm of grace when you walk with him, his ability. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So good, right? We want to create a life we don't have to escape from. And we do this by drawing near to God and listening to his voice. He guides us, he directs us, he provides for us, but we have to listen, get his instructions to walk those out. And then number three, what is wasteful? What needs to change so you can follow him and he'll make you a fisher of men? What's a waste of your time? What's a waste of your treasure, your money, and your talent, your abilities? Those are the things that he's entrusted to you in this life to serve him and live for him with, right? Time, treasure, talent. And so how are you wasting money? How are you wasting resources? And again, I keep bringing this back. How are you wasting your energy? The older you get, the less energy you have, and you have to spend it smartly. You cannot spend 932 hours on something stupid because you won't have any energy left to do the next thing. So how are you wasting energy? How are you wasting your thought life? Again, that's something I can control. How am I spending a lot of time thinking about things? That relationship that didn't work out, that person I just really want to tell off, that thing that's bugging me. Am I spending energy, wasting my thought life in ways that I shouldn't be? Your focus, your attention. In fact, these scriptures that I'm reading, he's asking for your attention. He's saying, I want your focus. I want your attention. That's what this 21 days is for. We're saying, I'm going to give my focus. And I'm not saying not for the rest of the year, but we are setting aside this time and we're digging our heels in to focus and pay attention to him. Isn't it interesting? The Bible, and always they say, pay attention. It costs you. Your attention is one of the most costly things you have. Because if my attention is on the wrong thing, the direction of my life is going the wrong way. Pay attention. In one translation, like I said, it does say pay attention. And it's a resource we can't afford to waste. You can't afford to waste that. If we're going to walk closely with Jesus, we need to recalibrate our attention and our focus back to him. We need to cut back on wasting our attention, our affection, our focus in places it doesn't need to be. Remember the parable of the talents? We don't want to be the guy who operated in fear and buried his talent. Instead, we should be investing that. And your attention, your talent, your time, your treasure are all things he's given you to be a steward over. So what's wasteful? These are loaded questions. You probably go back, and I could sit and think on all this stuff for hours, honestly, and start picking things apart in ways in life I could change and tweak things. And then the very last one, what's not working? You ever ask yourself that question? It's a good question to ask. What is not working? I'm trying to make it work, and it's not working. I've looked at it at every angle, standing on my head. I've researched. I've Googled. I've worn Google out. She's out of answers for me, right? What's not working? Sometimes we're our own biggest roadblock. We find ourselves frustrated and irritated because we're trying to make something work that just doesn't anymore. It just doesn't work anymore. And we need to be willing to trust God to be able to let go and stop doing that thing because he wants us to do something different. Sometimes, and different personality types, actually, if you do personality profiles, there's a certain personality type. They're super consistent, which is the amazing strength of that personality type. But amazing, the opposite way is they hate change, man. You just rock their boat. And because of that, when God's leading them to do stuff, man, they're like, no. And sometimes they'll just keep doing that same thing over and over again, going to that same job they should have left 20 years ago, going to that same thing. And God's like, over here. And they're like, but I got to be consistent, and this is what I know. And he's saying, no, it's time to go, right? We have to listen to that. It's not easy. It's uncomfortable. It takes faith. I know we were on staff, planted a church on the other side of town. My family was there. Our church was my family. We buried, married, saw babies. We were very, very close to a ton of people. And when we left, I cried for days. In fact, I think I cried for months. It was so hard. And I didn't want to in my flesh, but in my spirit, like, grace was gone. It was time to leave. We knew we needed to do our own thing and that God had called us to pastor our own church. But man, it just would have been easier to do what I've been doing all along. I knew what to do. I could do it in my sleep. I didn't even really have to pray that much, if we're being honest. I'd just show up. I'd done it a million times. I knew exactly. I knew everybody. It was fantastic. My family was there. But he said, go. I'm like, well, where? And I thought I knew, and then a bunch of things changed. Had I known what I knew, I probably would have stayed even longer and dug my heels in. I'd probably retire from there because it just would have been easier, right? It's easier when you know. It's easier when it's familiar. It's easier. But what if he's telling you to do something that's not comfortable, that's not familiar, that's not what you did every time you've done for the rest of forever? What if he's saying, go over here? And what if the blessing of God is on that and you're over here being miserable? I heard it said like this, and I never understood the saying until we were getting ready to leave there. And it was so weird to me. I mean, I loved my job. I loved what I did. I loved the people, so it was super hard. But our Bible school, the guy who started our Bible school that we went to, said, when the grace changes, it's like walking around in wet socks. Have you ever walked in wet socks? It is so disgusting. I cannot handle it. I get so upset if my socks, I'm ripping those off and throwing them. I'm telling you, that is exactly what it feels like. So what is not working? Are you walking around in wet socks, so frustrated, you're just kind of crabby and everybody's sick of being around you because you're mean? And all you got to do is say, okay, it's not working. I've tried to make this work. This is not what I need to be doing. What do you want me to do, Lord? What are you asking of me? Amen? So what's not working? Our own fears and doubt can keep us stuck if we're not willing to lean in, listen, and obey. It takes faith to stop doing something you've done for a long time, and sometimes a lot of faith. But I tell you what, there's such a reward in that. And in the book of John in the Amplified, like we talked about, it talks so much about the voice of the Holy Spirit in John 14 through 17. In fact, it says this. It says that he'll announce, disclose, and make things known to you. That's just the Amplified. I don't think it says that in any other translation. Announce, disclose, and make things known to you. Sometimes you can get stuck in the I don't know what to do's for a really long time. I call it the analysis paralysis. And if you're a little more analytical, I'm like that. I can get stuck there, and I've had to learn to stop that because I could just stay there forever thinking all the what ifs of why it's not going to work, you know? And he's like, just obey. And you're like, but have you ever had a kid do that to you? Man, is that not fun? But don't be that kid. Right? Just don't be that kid. Like, come on, go outside. But, and they give you 92 reasons why they're not going to do it, right? We don't want to be that kid as a child of God. I don't want to be that kid when he says, go pray for that lady. And I'm like, but I don't want to be that kid because I know if I obey, there's blessing in it for me too, not just the lady I went and prayed for. Amen? All right. I'm wrapping up. I'm rounding the corner, guys. So are you ready? Are you ready to hear from heaven during this time? The Bible says this in Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. I really like this in the Message. It says Matthew 6, 32 and the 33. It says, what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know what both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions, and don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. What's the definition of steep? That is to soak something. Typically, I think of tea, to soak it in water or another liquid to extract its flavor. To surround or fill with a quality of influence. You would say the city of Gotha is steeped in history, right? It's surrounded in history. So the best cup of tea, you steep that bag for a long time, right? And the longer it's in there, the stronger the tea is, right? And the smells from all the herbs, right? That they, I don't drink tea, I drink coffee. The lemon or whatever it is that you're drinking, lavender. Those aromas start to come out as it's sitting in that hot, hot water. That's what's going to happen in this 21 days. God's going to, as we lean into him, we're going to steep our lives, just soak in his presence. The steeping does this. I guess it's a little bit of an art. Steeping is the soaking of an organic solid, like leaves, in a liquid to extract its flavors or to soften it. The specific process of being prepared for drinking the leaves in heated water releases the flavor and the nutrients. That's what steeping is. So let's let this time be a time where we steep our lives. We soak in God's presence. We watch for him to soften our hearts, bring out the sweet fragrance and the flavor of the creation he created you to be. Each person created uniquely for the glory of God. Amen. We want him to surround us and fill us with his qualities, his influence, so that this is a marked time for this year, and it sets the course. Like we said, seek first, right? That's why we do it in January. We'll pray again another time during the year, probably do another little thing before school starts, but we do this first because we're seeking him first. I don't want to start my year without seeking him first. It's just going to be really hard that way when I know that he's my source. Amen? Amen. So I believe this is going to be a great time for our church family, a great time of unity. And I know that God's got great and important things to say to you. I know there's people in here, just by nature of knowing who's in the room, that are looking for jobs, that are believing God for babies, that are believing God to buy homes, sell homes, retire, do all kinds of different things. Why not take this 21 days and really go for it? Don't just put it in neutral, but I mean, go for it. Pray, read your Bible, seek the Lord like you never have before, and see what he would have to say to you as you lean in. Amen.